This program contains general information about legal matters and should not be used as an alternative to legal advice for your specific case. If you have any specific questions about any legal matter, you should consult Greg Leiter or other professional legal services providers. You should never delay seeking legal advice, disregard legal advice, or commence or discontinue any legal action because of information from this program. Welcome to Personal Injury Straight Talk on 1340 WJOL, brought to you by Greg Leiter, lead attorney with Leiter Law Offices. And here's your host, legal expert and your legal advocate, Greg Leiter.
Good afternoon, Will County. Hope everybody had a terrific holiday, that everyone was safe and made it to their destination in one piece and without incident. I figured we would talk a bit today about the law in Illinois on social host liability. With the holiday season upon us, there's going to be a lot of holiday office holiday parties, family holiday parties, parties at bars. But, you know, it's a time to celebrate, get together with friends and family. And obviously it's important to be safe at the same time. So I wanted to talk again about social host liability. And in Illinois, there is a law that says if you provide alcohol or drugs to a minor in your house or another premises, and that minor goes out and causes death or injury to himself or to some third person, you will be responsible for the injuries, both civilly and criminally. And it's interesting. Some states have a social host liability law out there that is a bit more all exclusive, where it says regardless of whether or not it's a minor that alcohol is provided to, if you provide alcohol or drugs to even an adult, and that adult goes out and causes an injury to a third person, you're going to be held responsible. But in Illinois, the social host liability, the law on that is that it applies only to the distribution or serving of alcohol to a minor. And, the penalty for that, if you're caught serving alcohol to a minor from your home or wherever else, it is generally going to be a misdemeanor. However, if that minor goes out and causes serious injury to a third person, and you know what's serious, that's actually defined, determined by the court. But if that minor goes out and causes serious injury to someone, you could be on the hook for a felony. So it's something to think about this holiday season. And you always hear stories of parents that have kids and they allow them to drink at the house, and then they'll take away their car keys or try to do what they can to make sure everybody stays in the house, and they feel that's drinking responsibly. But know that inherently in even doing that, you're criminally responsible, and that's a misdemeanor, regardless of your intention to keep everybody in the home. Because if one minor happens to get out or something were to happen, you would be on the hook, you could go to jail for it. So it's something to think about this holiday. Celebrate responsibly, and go about it the right way. So happy to take any calls on that issue or any other issue or questions that you might have. 815-254-7300. Or if you're more comfortable and want to talk off the air, you can give our office a call at 815-723-7600. Our website is www.gleiterlaw.com. And I wanted to talk briefly. I had a new client that came in and talked to me the other day, and I've agreed to help him out. And it's a bit interesting fact pattern, and I thought I'd discuss it with everybody. He's a younger guy, probably in his mid-20s, and over the holiday weekend, he was at a bar, and we're not going to disclose the name of the bar for obvious reasons, but he was at the bar, and it was actually his job that night to be the designated driver. So he wasn't drinking, but he went into the bar. He was with his friend, and after about a half hour at the bar, he noticed another guy there that's an acquaintance of his, and there were five to six guys that jumped his friend. And one of the guys was on top of his friend, basically pounding him. And my client took a chair to try to separate his friend who was on the ground from the guy that was attacking him. And in the course of doing that, the five guys at the bar jumped on my client and started beating him to a pulp. And he sustained some pretty serious injuries. He was rushed to the emergency room. He sustained about six fractures to his face, his head. He's going to be having a surgery in the immediate future. He's been unable to work, and he's absolutely sustained some severe and permanent injuries. So I'm gonna help this guy out, and I wanted to talk a bit about some of the issues in this case because it's an interesting case. First off, the responsibility against the five guys that beat him up at the bar. Obviously, we're gonna look into going after those guys. I imagine there's probably not going to be too much there to recover. Whether these guys work or not, or have any money, is unknown, but pretty doubtful. So you know, we're going to go after the guys that caused this. But then we turn and we look at the bar and we say, okay, what's the bar's responsibility in this case? And obviously, at this point, we haven't made any determinations. We're doing the investigation. We're going to speak with the police, the state's attorney, find out how they're going to proceed. But, you know, essentially, we have two ways to go on this. And, you know, we're gonna be cautious because, you know, my client's medical bills are going to be well into the six figures. And we want to make sure at the end of the day there's going to be enough money to, you know, if there can be enough to compensate him for, you know, for his injuries and the change that this is going to have on his life. So there's two theories that we're going to look into. One of them, and we've talked about this on prior shows, is dram shop. And again, that is where a bar or tavern provides alcohol to its patrons, and sees that the patrons are visibly intoxicated, and then that patron goes on and causes a harm or injury to some third person. So the theory, you know, in this case is that the bar provided these five or six guys alcohol, which contributed, you know, to them conducting their attack and injuring my client. So that's one of our theories that we're going to look into. And you know, the problem with that for this case, and not really a problem in terms of liability, but under dram shop in Illinois, there is a limit on the amount that you can recover. And it changes every year. It goes up by a couple thousand. I think right now it might be about $72,000. And you know, like I said, my client's medical bills are going to far exceed $70,000 based on the care that he has and that he's going to have in the future. So we can pursue the dram shop case against the bar, but is that really going to be sufficient compensation for him? And in this case, I don't think it is. So our second theory that we're going to look into is just strict negligence against this bar. And you know, we've heard from some witnesses. We've obviously started our investigation, and we've heard from witnesses that some or all of the offenders in this particular case may have been under the age of 21. So now we have another issue. We've got a bar serving alcohol to underage customers. And I think that arguably gets us out of dram shop and into a negligence theory of liability. And, you know, we're also going to look into the fact that there was no bouncer. There was no security at the bar. There was nobody there to, you know, to try to control or try to maintain some order at the premises. So that would be a second theory of liability, you know, for us to pursue a negligence claim against this bar. And, you know, what's the advantage of claiming negligence as opposed to strictly dram shop for us? Obviously, public policy and the perception by a jury of a bar serving underage patrons alcohol is frowned upon, and it's going to put the bar in a very negative light. And I think it's going to inflate at the end of the day any jury verdict, you know, that we get. I don't think this is a case that the bar is going to want to put on, and I think the defense attorneys that are ultimately assigned this case are going to recognize that as well. But in terms of the value, you know, the negligence policy for this bar is going to be well into the six figures, whether it's $100,000, $200,000, $1 million per person, per occurrence. It's going to far exceed the limits of the $72,000 that we can get under the dram shop. So at the end of the day, my client is going to, we're going to help him and make sure he gets the appropriate treatment, care, surgeries, that he needs, and we're going to do what we need to do to prevail on a negligence claim as opposed to simply a dram shop, and we're going to make sure that that this guy's medical bills are taken care of, that he's compensated for pain and suffering, loss of a normal life, and any other injuries that or damages that he might be entitled to by law. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm glad we're able to help this guy out. You know, this bar put itself in that position by, you know, by willingly serving alcohol to these kids. And, you know, you serve alcohol to kids who don't know how to drink responsibly, and this is going to be the consequence. So, you know, a message for the bar, we're going to be coming after you, and you guys are going to pay for this one. We have a call on line one. Barbara, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Mr. Leiter?
I'm well. Nice to hear from you. How's everything?
It's wonderful. I was calling you in regards to the issue of serving the alcohol to the minors. I was asked by my brother to let him use the my place to host a holiday party for his high school friends. And obviously I wasn't planning to serve any alcohol. But as you brought it up, I was concerned about what kind of a liability I might be facing if they managed to sneak any in or by accident or somehow tap into my reserves.
Sure. And that's a good question. And, you know, the answer is if you allow your brother to have the party at your house and you notice at some point that that there is alcohol or there's drugs that are involved, you need to take the appropriate steps, and that would be contacting the authorities. And if you do that, you do what's appropriate, then you will be absolved of any criminal activity. Okay, they're not gonna hit you with a misdemeanor or with a felony if you go ahead and you take the measures and report the activity that's going on in your house, okay? But, you know, something else to think about, if you're hosting this party for high school kids and it gets out of hand and there's more kids there, you know, than expected, you know, it's harder to keep control and to have a handle on what's going on. So, you know, that's something else that you have to think about.
Okay, so under... Let's say if I don't notice anything happening and they still manage to somehow have some alcohol without my knowledge and something were to happen, I could be held liable for it.
You could. You can't, and the, you know, the state's attorney, the police, you can't kind of have you can't turn a blind eye, you know, to what's going on. And if you have too many guests at your house and you're not able to monitor their activity, then, you know, that's going to be your fault. You know, you need to make sure that you're maintaining a level of control, and that you're not allowing too many people in, into your house, so you can't monitor what their activities are and what's going on. But if you do it, as soon as you see something that's out of the ordinary or that's suspicious, breaking the party up, that's a reasonable activity. Contacting the authorities if it's getting beyond your control, that's all appropriate, and that will all absolve you of liability. But to have these guests there and to allow, whether it's actively or passively, the guests to get into your alcohol and to consume it at your house, you're going to be held responsible. So if you can do it in a safe manner, I would do that. But if there's any concern, even the possibility of having additional adults, at your house to help monitor and supervise the situation. So, does that help at all?
Wonderful. As does. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks so much, Barbara. Have a nice holiday. All right. Well, it was a good question, by Barbara, and I'm sure that's it's going to be a common situation or scenario here with the holidays coming up. So feel free to call in with more questions or concerns, 815-254-7300. Our office, 815-723-7600. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Have you been hurt on the job? Has your doctor misdiagnosed or mistreated your medical condition? Meet attorney Greg Leiter. But before we go on, let's get two things straight. We've all heard the cheesy lawyer ads that say,
"Call us for a free consultation. We don't get paid until you win money."
The truth is, every injury lawyer gives a free consultation, and no attorney gets paid until you win money. So what should you look for in an attorney? Someone who wins your type of case. That attorney is Greg Leiter. Greg Leiter has years of experience with personal injury, medical malpractice, and workman's comp. He's won millions of dollars for his clients who've been hurt on the job and have helped them keep food on the table and provide for their families. Plus, his background as an insurance defense attorney gives him unique insight to help prove your case. Call Greg Leiter today. You'll meet with him, and he will personally handle your case. If you have a personal injury, workman's comp, or medical malpractice case, or know someone who does, call Greg Leiter today at 815-723-7600. That's 815-723-7600.
Hey everybody, I'm Ed Kerfin.
And I'm Ross Novak. We're the host of WJOL's very own Friends Over 50.
Heard here every Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We'll be sure to make you laugh, maybe even make you cry. You may even get to meet the Beaver.
Geez, Ed, that sounds great. How about some of our other great stars like the Fonz?
Hey, we'll make that happen too. We'll have local business updates and a lot of healthcare information and what's going on in the community.
And yes, we'll talk food and the best Bloody Marys around. So make sure you're here every Friday for the Friends Over 50 show, brought to you by Home Helpers, 708-301-4746.
Will County's News Talk Sports, 1340 WJOL.
Thanks for returning. We were talking before the break about social host liability in Illinois, talking about a new case, a new client I'm helping out regarding a dram shop or negligence case. And we took a call before with a question regarding throwing a party for a high school student for the holidays, and what the caller's responsibilities, potential liabilities would be in doing so. I want to talk about another issue while we still have some time, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but I think it's important enough to reiterate. And the reason it's on my mind right now is there is another client of mine who I recently got together with and helping her out with. But, real briefly, she was involved in a motor vehicle accident in Joliet. She was on, I believe, Plainfield Road at the intersection of, I think, Hennepin, when she was stopped and rear-ended by a kid who was about 19 years old. He was texting at the time of the accident. And essentially rear-ended her. And, the kid got out of the car. The first thing he said to my client is good luck. I don't have anything, which is an interesting thing to say after your you're texting in the car and you cause an accident. But, you know, this this impact caused pretty significant injuries to my client. She ended up having neck surgery. She's having shoulder surgery. She's having a knee surgery. She's going to be going through a long and tedious course of treatment and recovery, all because this kid couldn't put his cell phone down for a few minutes while he was in the car. Apparently something was more important. So, you know, her medical bills are going to be through the roof. They're going to probably be a good $200,000 plus. And we come to find out that this kid that hit her, he had the state minimum. He had $20,000 in insurance. And like I said, that's all you need in Illinois to drive is the $20,000. And, you know, that's not going to cover her emergency room, you know, visits, let alone compensate her for, you know, for her injuries. But, you know, fortunately, and it's still not enough, but fortunately for her, she has what's called an underinsured motorist policy. And, we've talked about it, underinsured motorist policy, uninsured motorist policies. It's additional coverage that we all should have. It costs a few extra dollars on your monthly premiums, probably less than $10, you know, to have it. But, you know, I recommend for everybody to have at least a minimum of $250,000 for underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage. And, you know, she paid that extra few dollars a month, and fortunately, well, or unfortunately, it's gonna apply in this situation. So the way it's going to work is we're going to take the driver that hit her, we're going to take his $20,000, and then we're going to pursue an underinsured claim through her insurance carrier. And, you know, like I said, she's got a $250,000 policy. So after the $20,000 from the other driver, there's going to be an additional $230,000, in coverage that's going to be available to her. And you know what? We'll get her the entire policy, but still, at the end of the day, that's not going to be enough for for her medical bills, her pain and suffering, loss of a normal life, and this long road to recovery that she's going to experience. But you know, again, it's something that everybody should have. That's underinsured motorist coverage, and then there's also uninsured motorist coverage. Which is similar, and you know, like we just stated, you need to be driving with $20,000, a minimum of $20,000 coverage in Illinois. But you know, by chance you get hit by somebody that has no insurance, then your uninsured motorist coverage would come into effect. And it's, you know, it's essentially the same thing. You go through your policy. It's a few extra dollars on your premium per month. But it's going to protect you from, you know, from injuries or damages caused by someone driving without insurance. And again, you know, I recommend having at least $250,000 in uninsured coverage. And you know what, if you can't do that, if you can't swing it for whatever reason, you can get it up to $100,000. You know, but it's something you should have. And, you know, I know some insurance companies out there, they offer underinsured and uninsured coverage of $40,000. You know, and, you know, it's there, it's available. You know, I really don't see what the point of that is, of getting $40,000 in coverage when you could get $100,000 or $250,000. You know, if you're struck by somebody who has $20,000, in coverage, and you have underinsured of $40,000, you know, that only gives you a $20,000 gap, and you know, that's not gonna be too significant. That's not gonna, you know, make the difference for you. But you know, if you protect yourself with the $100,000 or the $250,000, you know, you're gonna be in better shape. So something you know, something to look into. If you don't have it, I recommend that that everybody carry something. So, again, 815-723-7600 is our office phone, and feel free to call the show here at 815-254-7300. 100. We've got a few additional minutes to talk, so let's talk about any other issues or concerns you might have. One other issue that we see around the winter is and this I saw this the other day when I was on the highway. There was a semi in front of me a good distance, and it had snowed either the day or two prior. And as the truck was driving, you saw a big sheet of ice or snow that flew off the truck and onto the highway. And you know, I saw a car that was ahead of me swerving to the side to try to avoid that. That poses an interesting question. If there was a vehicle immediately behind that truck and the ice flew off and came into contact with that vehicle or caused the vehicle to swerve into another car or the median or cause some kind of collision, who's at fault for that? Some may feel that you need to be driving an appropriate distance, behind the truck to anticipate something like that from happening. It's a common occurrence on the highway. And, if you drive a reasonable speed, you can avoid, avoid coming in contact or having that affect you. But the fact of the matter is if that truck, whether it be ice or it be something that they have attached, in a trailer, which I've dealt with before in the past, where I've represented clients where there was a landscaping truck, and part of I think it was hay or something that came out from the trailer of the landscaping truck came out to the road in front of my client. He swerved to the side. And he struck the median, and he was injured as a result of that. And we went after the landscaping company for the injuries that were sustained in that accident. And why? Because the landscaping company, the truck driver, they have a duty to safeguard it, whatever it's hauling, and to make sure that the truck that it's driving is in a safe condition and isn't going to cause injury or a hazard to anyone else, on the roadway. And whether that's, fastening the tarp, de-icing, a truck, whatever needs to happen. I think you have a greater responsibility when you're on the road and you're operating one of these 16-wheelers or you've got a trailer. More things obviously could go wrong, and you have a duty not only to yourself, but to the public to make sure that you're traveling in a safe manner. So we are coming up on the end of our time. As always, feel free to give me a call off the air. I'm happy to talk about any issues or any questions that you may have. With the holiday season on us, everybody be cognizant of how you're celebrating, how you're allowing other people to celebrate. Do it in a safe manner. Keep in mind that your actions have a potential effect on everybody else out there. I certainly don't want to be driving on the road trying to avoid drunk drivers. And I ask that you, this holiday season, do everything that you need to do to disallow that from happening. If you're contributing to it, you're part of the problem and not part of the solution. So be safe, have a happy holiday, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Personal Injury Straight Talk. Tune in every Tuesday at 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 1340 WJOL for another half hour packed with valuable legal information to help protect you and your loved ones. Brought to you by Greg Leiter with Leiter Law Offices.